Let's be doers of the word, not hearers only. So I tell you, that'll be one of the greatest things as we leave here and we go out into next week, just with everybody with a big smile on our face, what would it be like if we just let everybody know we saw this week that Jesus is alive and well. And if you go a little step further, just add a little testimony on something he did for you that week. I mean, what an awesome thing. So thank you, Abby, for that song. Happy anniversary. Scott's my Sunday school teacher, and Joy, Scott's teaching, and his bride keeps the class kind of going there, I know, too. But thank y'all for being here. Thank you for, I know we kind of, the stuff with the help of the flood victims, we got to you kind of as quick as we could. But good news there in that if you didn't bring something today, bring it tonight or Wednesday, and if we have to get it on the truck that David's talking about going down, we'll get it from here out to Marshville if we have to do that ourselves. No problem with that. And then also I think that truck's been sitting down at Waysboro if you live closer there in Anson County. But, man, you just can't never... it's just heartbreaking to see on the news what's happened. And Brother John Green and Miss Margaret, where's Miss Margaret at? I saw Miss Margaret earlier. Miss Margaret's right there. She moves around on me. But John was sharing with me, your daughter and son-in-law, that they were affected some by the flood. He's mentioned that they had a shop building, lost a lot of things in that, didn't get their house, but had some neighbors, good friends, that actually got their house. So right there as close as that, family that we know, and just so much devastation, so giving back. I was excited when I got the message, though. I headed to Walmart late yesterday evening, and I knew one thing I was going to buy. Heard on the mat, diapers. I have not bought diapers, Rick, since Hilton was in diapers. I have not bought, but we got a grandbaby on the way, and I said, I'm buying diapers for the flood victims. So I went and got some diapers last night. I know where they're at now, Walmart, Brooke. So we're settled. I tell people often, when our children were, you know, diapers are expensive, amen? And diapers are handy. I don't want to do cloth diapers. Anybody want to do that like the old days? But one of the greatest gifts my mom would give is we'd go to visit her house, and we had babies. And before we left, she'd have that big old multi-pack of Pampers, and she'd have it there for us to give out. And pray for my wife today. My wife just, usually if she's sick, she keeps going. But she initially thought she wouldn't be able to come today to spread with the children, but she just all night has got a terrible, terrible deep cough and just sick, and she doesn't miss. Our house don't run too well when she's not in charge. For all my life, from having been married and had children, she has allowed me to get up on Sunday morning. And our children were babies. I've always gotten up Sunday morning and gone to my study to spend more time in the Word and prayer. I have never helped really get our children ready for Sunday. And some of you wives there, even husbands, are saying, you're a sorry rascal then. But that's what an awesome wife that I have. And she's done that for years. And she does so much for me. And I told her, not long after we got married, I said, honey, if you ever decide to leave me, I'm going with you. And we've maintained that throughout life. She will tell you right now, the only reason we're still married is because of God and the commitment that she made to God. You all right? Not because of me at all. And I agree with her. But it's good to be in God's house. And I hope you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, there's one there in the pew that you can get out, but I want you to ask you about to turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. There's been so many confirmations of the message today that God's used to y'all that I'll try to mention, but I'm just kind of overwhelmed. I've been excited about this passage even last Sunday when we didn't get there. But Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. If you're physically able, stand with me. Abby's song is still ringing in my heart. Jesus is alive and well, y'all. And a lot of how Daniel looks at his life and looks around him and looks at what's going on is just evidence of God's power. And we need that desperately. Amen. And a fresh touch this morning. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. It's in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now pay particular attention here beginning in verse 3. Daniel says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now look at verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings and princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth to thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As this day to the men of Judah, to the habits of Jerusalem, to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries where thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets. Dear God, what a gathering of a few scriptures that describes us today. Describes our country, describes everything we see going on. Dear God, I'm so thankful that you tell us that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have not changed. Your word has not changed. Sin has not changed. Judgment has not changed. Your love has not changed. Your mercy has not changed. Lord, in our need to just stand and acknowledge as Daniel did, Lord, is before us. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I join Daniel in chapter verse 5, here in chapter 9. We have sinned, amen? We have sinned. Daniel here in this passage in chapter 9 is giving us, he has a plan to hear God. And we've been talking about hearing God, talking about Elijah and that still small voice. In those scriptures I read you, time and time again, the emphasis was, and even when it was specifically mentioned, then the words he mentioned, that they weren't listening to God. They weren't hearing God's voice, but Daniel was seeing and Daniel was hearing from God. And what we find here is kind of a structure for it. We find a plan. Daniel had this plan of how he's going to hear from God. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to have a plan if you want to hear God. You've got to have a plan and you've got to put it in action. So in the time we've got this morning, I'm going to try to look at the fact that Daniel did have a plan. He's got a plan. Then he had the performance of the plan, which was the power came in. And then we'll talk a little about the problem, the sin problem. But when I think about Daniel's plan here, look with me in verse 3. He lays it out. There's three important steps here, things about his plan. And remember how he's going to hear God. And the same apply to us, or just as powerful today as it were with Daniel. He says, first of all, there in verse 3, he says, I have set my face unto the Lord. And the second of all, he said, to seek by prayer and supplication. And then third, he says, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So we're going to look in a moment about that plan. He had three specific things, things that we can practice today, things we need to focus on today that will help us, like Daniel, to hear from God, to hear about our sin, to hear a way to move forward, to understand all the craziness in our world. And every week goes by, there's more and more craziness. Amen? You just look on the news, and you look in politics, and you look in business, you look in church life, you look in our personal lives, and you look on social media, and all the things that are happening. I had come across the word studying, and I didn't really understand what the word meant, and I had just jumped online and gone out to Webster's Dictionary and had looked for the word, and then it had these the trending words. It had the five words that people were searching most for. I'll let you search for them yourself. I want to mention what they were today. Amen? But Daniel knew that there was sin in his life. He knew there was sin amongst the people of God's people. He knew there were sin amongst their neighbors. He knew there were problems with their leadership, the kings and the princes. And so Daniel wants to hear from God. And Daniel has a plan. Too often I have, and my family can testify, Brooke can testify, I can preach with peaceful heart this morning because I had two final things on her list that she needed done as far as those handyman type things for the baby, and I did those yesterday. I'm sure more will be added today, amen. But I have these lists. Anybody else have a list? I mean, I'm not talking about some fancy list. Now, Brooke has these, her lists are color-coded. They're neat. They're fancy. A lot of y'all are that way, men and women. But I have lists. I have them on the computer. I got them on my desk. I got them on post-it notes. I don't know how you get. I have a list of a lot of stuff that needs to be done. I caught me and Eric. We're talking a little bit. Just put the microphone on. And I said, "Man, what a beautiful day yesterday! And God just blessed us. What a gift! I think there'll be some top temperature and environment in heaven that's so far beyond perfect than that we can't even describe in words. But just a glimpse. Amen. A glimpse." And I made a comment to Eric, and I said, "Eric, I wish I had a week off, not to go anywhere, a week off of weather like that, just to do what I'd like to do at home, to do my list. I think my list is long enough, amen, to do. A list of all these things, and I'm blessed. I have people, church adds to my list, and my mama adds to my list, and my children add to my list, and my friends add to my list, and then I work in some things off. Some of you say, "Hey, preacher, come have lunch with me," or "Preacher, done by," and I'm like, "Man, I'd love to do that." That's on my want-to list, but my have-to list and my urgent list keeps overriding. So I'll have a list of things to do. You know, I've learned recently about, we're going to find that Daniel in the plan of the list of the three beginning things in verse 3, he not only had the list, but he quickly put them into action. I'm not too good at that. How about y'all? I got the list. I know what there are, but they continually, priorities are changing, things are changing, and sometimes I just don't feel like doing what's on my list. Y'all all right? Y'all with me? Just want to do nothing. And the problem is, spiritually, we're the same way that we are in this world. We have these lists. We have the things we need to do. We have a plan. We know it's important. But we really don't put it into action. We really don't take it a step farther. Amen? And spiritually, that's going on. So think about what's happening. All around us, all these things we need to do on our list and in our lives are overwhelming us. So for something spiritual like prayer and seeking His face and fasting and even the things we ask you to do as a church member or coming here, that those are pushed away, amen? Those are pushed away. So we're going to learn from Daniel how to deal with that, how to have that list, how to plan, how to put it into action. But let's dive into, really, first of all, before we look at the plan, I want to make just one or two statements about the problem. Why did he need a plan? The problem is in verse 5. And we'll be headed to that in more detail, but he stood and he said, "We have sinned. We have sinned." I said that as we began this morning. There'll be no greater way to a father leading a home, a husband leading a home, or if you're a single mom leading your home, or if you're living alone, that every morning we would greet the morning before God and simply say, "We have sinned." Wouldn't it be something at the end of the day to gather around to eat at the table, which unfortunately so many of us rarely do in this busy world we live in, but we gather at some point at a table or in our homes and gather around and say, "We have sinned." And maybe as a father or mother or grandfather or someone that would be bold enough to say, "Hey, you know, this is some sin in my life and God has convicted me and help one another learn what it did and how it was sin, how we're going to do our children." Maybe that you live in a home and you're closer to God than your parents are and you would come at the end of the day and say, "Man, I sinned today. I thought this. I did this." But this acknowledgement that we have sinned. I mean, God just celebrates in God's love and mercy and forgiveness. I mean, he knows. He needs it already. Amen. He knows we've sinned. He knows all about it. But when we come as dad and say, "We have sinned," and begin to seek Him and ask Him to forgive us and to heal us and correct us and move us a step farther. Isn't it wonderful to know this morning that no matter what sin you may find yourself in, either right now still committing, or consequences of past sin, or maybe even just temptation, that God only can know that we don't even realize that we may choose to commit that sin this very day or tomorrow, that God loves us right where we are. Isn't that awesome? No matter, in the worst times of our lives, God loves us right where we're at in the midst of it. But He loves us too much for us to stay there. And the only way to move ahead with God, the only way to deal with the things He has, is we have to acknowledge the problem and have that plan. So go back to verse 3 with me. Verse 3, we move, and he had a plan. The first step of Daniel's plan was simply this. He said that what he had decided to do, he said, "And I set my face unto the Lord." So he specifically made the determination. He knew that his face was being set so many things in his life. What was going on in the country, what was going on in his life, what was going in the king's house where he served. His face was being drawn to be attended to so many things but God. And he said, "Hey, the first thing I got to do is I have got to set my face to the Lord God. I've got to get my face focused on him. The Bible tells us in the New Testament phrases like looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Great hymns of past talking about that we just need to be still. We need to cast our eyes upon Jesus. There's so many Bible verses that are reminding us that of all the distractions in life, we have got to take time and make a focus and priority of our lives to set our face toward him. That's what Daniel did. Look with me, and let's keep your place here in Daniel and just go back to Isaiah. In Isaiah, and we looked at Isaiah earlier, but in Isaiah chapter 50, and once again, Isaiah all is just so full of Jesus Christ and prophecy. But Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 11, we find Jesus in the Old Testament. And it's a picture of his face being like flint. I want to read it to you. He says in Isaiah 50, beginning in verse 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, and that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." That's talking about Jesus. Are you weary this morning? And how often during the week we can get weary physically and emotionally. And he says, "Hey, I've got a word." So we want to have that plan and get our face focused on him, because he's got a word in season to him that is weary. "He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." That's all the things they did to Jesus. "For the Lord God will help me." What a statement, y'all, in the Bible. Isn't it? Hey, and whatever your need is today, or the need that's coming up, we just need to have faith in him and faith in Jesus. Hey, he'll help me. He helps us and wants to help us even more. He says, "I've not been confounded, therefore I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." So the picture of Jesus, his face was set like a flint toward the will of God and toward God the Father and what he wanted. And so if Jesus had to do it, if that had to be the same plan that Jesus had, would have for us, and the same plan that God showed Daniel, we've got to get a face like that flint. I can't remember exactly where or who, but remember being a young boy, and the first time, it was either probably my grandfather or my father, showed me a flint rock. And I hope if your children this morning listen to me and don't know what a flint rock is, shame on you. Go out today sometime, find some flint rocks and show them. But a flint rock, you know, is that white rock. It is so hard, you can take two together and you can strike them against one another and make a spark. And so that's the image that we have here, that of all the things, all the one of the best descriptions I heard years ago, I even preached a message based on this statement, be a rock, as the Bible says, not Play-Doh. And we know what Play-Doh is. Play-Doh would be the exact opposite from a rock, and the extreme opposite of a flint rock. Play-Doh is something that you can take and you can mold it, and you can squeeze it, and you pull it apart, and it's just all those things that conform to anything. And the Bible tells us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to be a rock. We need to be, though, a flint rock with our face looking to Jesus Christ, as Daniel is showing us, that, hey, I've set my face. And it's like a flint. I mean, I'm not being hard and ugly or unkind, but I've just got a focus, a hard and steadfast, a focus that, hey, the rock of Jesus Christ, if I set my face on him and get it like that flint he said I can have, that when the two come together, hey, sparks will fly. There'll be power in our prayer. There'll be things changing in our lives. But often while that's not happening, he is the rock, but we haven't set our face like a flint, like Jesus said. We haven't set our face like Daniel has. And hey, God's trying to do something powerful. And we Play-Doh. We've been conformed by everything we hear and see, gets our attention. I really believe that I've got undiagnosed ADHD. When I was growing up, they just whooped you and said, you know, you were a boy. But I think, you know, man, there's people have different challenges, amen? I think mine's undiagnosed. But I never forget, I had a preacher one time, an older preacher was teaching. And he said a young preacher came to him and said, "Tell me what the key is to sermon preparation. What is the key?" And so this preacher, young preacher, is looking for some really deep wisdom and knowledge from this older preacher. And you know what the preacher said to him? He said, "Keep your rear end in the seat." And that's my biggest problem. I'll sit down to study the Bible, and I'm thinking, oh, I need to go see this person, and I need to run to the hospital, and I need to go do this on my list, and I need all these different things. And so instead of having my face set to God, focus on His Word or for a time of prayer or really going out into a lost world and have my face focused on the lost condition of somebody that's a sinner, doesn't even know what sin is. Do we know what being lost is? Need Jesus. I've become like Plato. And so the picture here is Daniel saying, listen, I set my face, it's action. Aaron, he had to do something. He wasn't just naturally during the day was going to set his face toward God and start listening and hearing from God. It was something that he had to do. Let me give you a New Testament passage and move and still hold your place there in Daniel 9, but go to Luke chapter 9. Isn't that amazing? And you can make out of some of this stuff that's not even there when you're studying the Bible, but I love these when we're looking at Daniel 9. And then we go to Luke 9, and Luke 9 verse 51. We have another picture here. So in Luke 9, in verse 51, the Bible says, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Here's Jesus again in the New Testament. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. See, just like Daniel did in the Old Testament during that time, we have Jesus here in the New Testament, and he had made that decision. He had that plan. He was putting in that. He had set his face to go to Jerusalem. What was he going for? He was going to complete the Father's will. He was going to do as the Father sent it. He was going to die for our sins on the cross and be raised again on the third day. And his face was set toward that. And listen, yes, he heard what was going on and he saw what was going on like we did, but he had made his plan. He knew the need of our sin. If we'll understand that we are sinners and the trouble of our lives and our world, we will set our face like Jesus and we can continually walk as he did. Remember, it says they were trying to get his attention, but it was as his face was set. He was focused on God. He was focused on the Father. He was focused on what God has said to do. He was focused on where he was going for God. And that's the way our lives should be. That's what Daniel was doing. And so often that doesn't describe our faces. Our faces are looking and being distracted by everything, but we have to set them unto the Lord. If you go back to Daniel chapter 9, in that same verse 3, there's a second thing that he talks about there. And that second thing he says, as I set my face toward God, then what I was going to do is to seek by prayer and supplication. There's that word that sits here by the piano, and I continually refer to the fact that the Bible tells us that if we're to seek him first, seek the kingdom of God first. And then he says he'll add all those things to us. And y'all, what's the reality, Elliot, of how we live? He's not first. All the things, I told you about my list and you got your list, and all those things are ahead of him and we're not putting first. And so hearing this very thing, Daniel is saying, I want to hear from God. Because of my problem, my sin, and all around me, I've got to set my face, and then I'm really going to begin to seek him. And how I'm going to seek him, he did not say, I'm going down to the church or the temple. He didn't say, I'm getting together with some godly people that know how to pray and that know the word of God to spend some time with them. He didn't say, I'm going down to the city and join in the group that's doing the most to help the most people that are living in the problems of the day. Notice what he said that what I'm going to do is I'm going to seek God by prayer. And there's no substitute for prayer. And I'm telling you, as you read about Daniel, as you continue, as I live my life reading the Bible, there is always this aspect of prayer. There's always this part of prayer that I don't think we can ever grasp or ever get a hold of. It's as Paul talked about, that's that you're seeking and you're always seeking in God. It's not that he's moving it farther away from us to frustrate us or not do something for us, but he's continually said, there's more in prayer. We do so many things to try to seek God. Sometimes, Mike, it drives me crazy to be in different settings and with different religious groups and with different people, even of our own Baptist faith, and all these great things that they're doing involved. And many times you may be like me and you look, man, look at all that's going on and look at all they're doing. We need to do more. Why can't we do more, preacher? And then across my desk comes one of those things kind of like this, kind of like when I realized already what I was going to preach, and we come and the choir begins to sing Mighty God, and we're looking at a moment in verse 4 how it talked about him being this awesome God. How then Marty picks out a verse, and I've not even talked to him about the message or anything. He reads a verse about sin. And then the praise song we're singing, and the words come out of that song, "Behold, He comes." Realizing, y'all, that sin is an issue, and realizing that we have a mighty God that forgives of sin, and He's returning one day, and we need to be aware that, hey, we need to be careful how we're spending our time. So across my desk comes the email. I hadn't read the article yet. I can't wait to read it. But here was the title. It said, "Preachers are so great at encouraging all the people in the church. You need to slow down, Greg. You need to make more time for God. You need to say no to some things on your list that we have so that you can spend more time with God." But the whole article is about, but so often in church, we're not very good at that. We just keep doing more and more and more and more for church activity because we're worshiping God, we're seeking God, when Daniel's example is the greatest need that every one of you have, that I have, that the church has, is to seek Him by prayer. Wouldn't it be awesome if I could announce to you today that there had been an app developed for your phones that y'all didn't realize? And it was such a powerful app that it had tracked our prayer time for the entire week. And I was asking right now for me to pull it up on the screen, and we're going to begin to scroll down. And I'll put mine at the first up there, you know, of where mine is, and we'll scroll down. And we'll just take a moment to kind of do a checkup, amen? Hey, they do it in school, right? You give tests to see how people are doing. They do at work, they'll give you a performance review to sit down and talk about how you're doing, amen? And if you've got your own business, when you get the monthly revenue and expenses come together, you get an idea how to do it. So we'll just do a little report of how much time that we spent this week seeking prayer. Anybody want to see that list? Anybody want to pray that somebody develops that? But God Almighty, sitting in heaven, knows every moment that we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Every moment. And how He answered and how. But He also knows every moment that we weren't, because we didn't set our face to Him because we weren't praying. He says, by prayer and supplications. And then He goes to step three. My step three Daniel has, and thank goodness this is in the Old Testament. And thank goodness we don't have to worry about this anymore. And hopefully what the preacher's going to do is just make a little mention of it so we can move on and not tarry here. Because Daniel says not only was he going to set his face toward God, and not only was he going to seek Him by prayer, it said he's just going to do it with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Oh, thank God, preacher, that fasting thing, I'm thankful we don't do that anymore. Uh-oh. Jesus continually in the New Testament talks about when the disciples will come and they're like, they were powerless to accomplish what needed to be accomplished, and they come to Jesus Christ and the statement's made, it'll only be done by prayer and fasting. Fasting is simply depriving yourself of your necessary food that we all love so much, amen. For not just doing without it, be doing that, but for a time of seeking God. And I'll warn you, it is just as much of God's plan to seek Him today as it was in Daniel's day and in Jesus' day. And I'll warn you this, though. You set aside a time and say, you know, and this isn't for the preacher of the church, but you, if God leads you to do this and you realize Daniel's got a plan, you say, you know, I'm at a time in my life that I need to set my face and focus more on Him more, and I'm going to seek Him in prayer like never before, and I'm even going to add fasting into it, and you say on a certain day or a certain week, I'm going to not eat anything, or I'm maybe just going to drink water and bread. I mean, you can define fasting. There's no set and fast rule of how you had to fast. That's part of what the New Testament and the grace and the freedom we have. But you say, God, I'm going to deprive myself of some of my necessary food for a time of seeking You in prayer. But be careful, because I can remember one particular time of entering into a time like that and thinking, God, I want those answers like Daniel, and I want to get my face and I want to hear from God. I want to seek Him. And by the end of the day, I'll tell you, by the end of the day, I got a call of one of the worst things I think that has ever happened to a family in the church, and had to make my way to their house. And in weakness of body, amen, in weakness of body, I was so thankful for God. I was so thankful that time, knowing that I had no words to say. I had no explanations or answers for what was going on. But I knew that I was so humbled by the fact that I'd want to spend that time and get closer to God. How many of us need that now, every one of us? How many of us have something in our life we're trying to decide, that we're deep struggling with a sin, we're struggling with a decision or choice, and to know that God does it? He not only says in fasting, he says it's interesting that Daniel says sackcloth and ashes. Literally, they would take sackcloth, and the best description, and it's not even a good description for today because we don't have this anymore, but an old burlap sack, a burlap material, and our life's so changed. But they literally would put on the scratchy burlap, the roughness would put it on, and would sit down in ashes, and it was an outward expression of the inward brokenness in seeking God. So what it said was, this wasn't just a prayer closet type time for Daniel. And there's those times where God calls us, Susie, to get in our prayer closet to him and him alone. The right hand doesn't even know what left, but we're praying alone, and that's vitally important. But this is pointing that Daniel not only was experiencing that, but he's having a time where publicly people could recognize his brokenness for sin and his desire for God. I'm telling you, there's no greater thing that a husband and wife can do for one another or do for a child or a grandparent, a Sunday school teacher, than to take times to outwardly show and talk and even exemplify in choices you make not to go here, not to do this. I mean, I've often heard one of the greatest things that you do for a child is let your child catch you praying. Not that you're doing something outwardly for show or something, but you maybe have a place of prayer in your home tucked away, or you like to go out by the oak tree or whatever it is, but that your child would come up and catch you on your knees, or catch you in a time of prayer, or catch you reading your Bible. I was just Friday afternoon was down at my grandfather's old home place, and my uncle had come up to gather up some walnuts, and we were talking about 20 good years there, and I said, well, you know, there's still some good days here. I said, that's why I'm down here. I'm alone. There's nobody around, and I'm down here, and I'm thinking about And I said, you ought to go out, bring your chair sometime, and sit out under the old oak tree, because down at my grandpa's old home place where my mom grew up, there's this huge water oak, and I never forget my grandfather sitting out there after lunch, or sometimes you might just drop to visit, and he's opening his Bible out. At that age, young age, I remember, and many of you heard me tell this story, but I remember thinking, man, a verse was some little verse in Sunday school or Bible school, and all that Bible was so overwhelming to me, and I asked my grandfather, I said, have you ever read that whole Bible? And he looked at me with a smile on his face, and he said, many times, many times. That's that outward period. It's not that you take literally and put sackcloth and ashes on, but that your family and even your friends, that people sense and see that you truly do understand about what sin does to our lives. Sin attacks the preacher's life every week, the deacon's life, the piano player, the choir leader, the choir, the Sunday school teachers, every servant in this church, the ones that sing, the ones that faithfully come. Sin is something that attacks us all, and we need to recognize it. That's the plan. And look in verse 4. In verse 4, we find three real things. I'm going to give them to you real quickly, and hopefully we'll just head right back to that verse 5 next Sunday, Lord willing. But in verse 4, not only did he have a plan, but verse 4 is kind of his performance. It's kind of the power. It's kind of him putting the word into action. We find that in verse 4, let's read it again. He says, and I prayed. Now, it may seem like a very basic statement, but how many times do we know we need to pray? Some of you sitting here now and you're thinking, you're making a commitment. You're thinking, I'm going to pray more this week than ever before. I'm going to set my face, I'm going to do. But something will happen throughout the week, and we won't make it to verse 4 where we say, Daniel says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Very quickly, you're going to have to listen fast here. Listen, first of all, what we find in that verse is that he was aware of the work of prayer. He was aware of it. He said, I prayed. So since he had prayed, since he put the plan into action, he was aware. And I tell you, prayers work, y'all. Sometimes I watch, even on Wednesday night, or I watch when prayer requests are given. If you simply write down the name of every prayer list request that you hear at church or you hear during the week, if you write that down and then begin to have you a list of things in your family and life, and if you do that and then simply begin to get down on your knees or sit in a chair and begin to pray, it's work. It'll take you a while to get through that list. It'll be work. So he knew, he was aware that there was work, the work of prayer, because he was doing it. And then he knew through that work would come the power. Not only was he aware of the work in prayer because he was putting into action what God had showed him, he was aware of his personal sin. Look what it says there in verse 4. He says, I made my confession. Two little letter word, my. He wasn't praying for the children of Israel. He wasn't praying for the kings and princes. He wasn't praying. He said he was aware that he had personal sin in his life. And the closer, listen, the more you set your face and the more you pray. I mean, one of the sweetest thing is this, and only God can do this. It's like, it's a picture. We've been looking in Sunday school, Scott, about that two-edged sword that we looked at the church there. Pergamos, that, you know, and what I've often heard is that's what Jesus' word and conviction, you pray and you're seeking him, and it's like that sword goes in. It cuts you with conviction going in, but it heals you with grace and mercy and love when it comes out. Only God can do that. My words can't do that. Some of you have been cut by some people's words this week, and there weren't no healing coming out, amen? But he is one that he was aware, and the more you're aware of sin, I mean, the more humbly you become and the more focused on God, the more excited about what God can do in forgiveness. He said, he made my confession. What have you confessed this week? And then the third thing he shows there, and we'll end with this, he was aware of who God is. He's aware of who God is. He uses two of my favorite words in all the Bible, oh Lord. That's a good prayer, y'all. Oh, Lord. Sometimes I'll pray, oh, Lord, help me. But he was aware when he set his face, and then when he began to seek in prayer, and he added on the fasting, saying no to himself. Hey, you can fast from TV. Fast from something, a hobby you enjoy. Fast for something that sets you apart, gives you more time for him. And when he didn't sackcloth and ashes, he became aware of what work it really was and what was going to require of him. He became aware of his personal sin, and then he became aware of who God really is. I think we live in a world who every day and every moment is forgetting more and more who God is. Amen? People have forgot. Daniel was aware, and listen how it came, and that's why we don't find it, because people aren't doing what the Bible says, but who God is. Daniel says, oh Lord, I love that, I just highlighted that in my notes. Then he said, the great and dreadful God. That almost, and we like the great part, amen? We like the great, we see a word like dreadful, and like, well, I don't want anything to do with that. What literally, it's an overpowering word that literally translates awesome. What Daniel said is, oh Lord, you're the great and you're the awesome God. And that, you know, isn't it so crazy when people will so demean Christians, say we're narrow-minded because we talk about sin and forgiveness of Jesus and all those things. But we know a God who is great and he's awesome. And it's an old song, and I just wrote the words. I wish I could sing it to you, but there's a song, Awesome God. And I'll close with this. Rich Mullins wrote it, and the song says these words. Many of you know the song. You could sing along. But it says, when he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. Well, the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. And then the chorus is, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom and power and love. Our God is an awesome God. When the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. Now listen to the last words of this verse 2. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. I go back to the words and the song that God laid on Abby's heart to sing. That's how you'll go out this week. You commit now to set your face on him, to seek him in prayer, with fasting if God so leads you. He'll make you aware of all the things he made Daniel aware. And we can go out and with excitement and joy. You know what the Bible says, connects, that our strength comes through the joy that we have in the Lord. So often we are weak because this old world and circumstances and problems take every bit of the joy out. I say it so often, it's the craziest things we do, how disobedient we are to His Word. How, and thank goodness I don't have anybody to say this today, but I could call out, what if I call out Aaron's name? He said, Aaron's just told me he's been diagnosed with cancer, stage 4 cancer. And boy, we love Aaron and so thankful for him and his family. And I'd invite Aaron down here. And we gather around Aaron, rightfully so, and we pray, believing God could do something. We fill up the altar. And based on the Word of God, and if we all be true to what God is showing us, this altar be filled every time we come. Why? Daniel said it. We have sinned. We have sinned. Would you bow with me, every head bowed and every eye closed? What is that still small voice speaking to you about? And I encourage you, God is not wanting to push you away. He's not wanting to punish you at this very point for your sin. What He wants to do is He wants you to come to Him, whatever it may be, and receive forgiveness. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, there's no forgiveness available for your sin. There's no peace. There's no nothing. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, do that today. If you've given your heart to Jesus and you've been thinking of sin, come to this altar and hear His voice. Hear His forgiveness, His correction, His comfort. Hear His way forward. Do as Daniel showed us. And experience what a great and an awesome God there is. Because there is nothing to compare to getting things right with Him. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Maybe you've been visiting and God's really put it upon your heart that He wants you to be a part of this church family, to become a servant, to become taking that next step in your journey with Him. Then we open the doors to receive you, wherever the need is. But would you simply be obedient to God? This might be for you the first commitment of taking that, of setting your face and begin to seek in prayer like you never have before. And I'm excited right now knowing, can't even imagine all that God's going to show you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Phil, would you lead us?
Page 480, Only Trust Him. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for being here. Brother Jim, would you close us in prayer?